Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160. If you want to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And amazingly, you know, I've said the number tonight repeatedly, and it's not been in the active part of my brain at any point, and yet still, I have not given up my phone number on the air. Literally done in the past.
Did you get any interesting calls after that?
Surprisingly, not a single one.
Wow. And
I'm assuming it was because I didn't specify that it was my number, but I sure enough didn't. It also didn't help that there was an issue with my mobile carrier for like the next 3 days afterward, and my phone didn't work at all. So maybe I did, and I just never got it. I don't know. But anyway, I want to tell you about an upcoming festival, Liberty in Our Lifetimes. The conference is the best place to learn about free cities, which are self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. We basically talked about one of these for the first hour and a half last night on the show, Prospera and Coral Beach and some others. Representatives from projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will join to share updates on progress and explain why you should consider moving or doing business in a free city. And, of course, Mark Edge of the show, who was on last night talking about these things, is going to be there. So check that out. And use code FTL to get a 10% discount on tickets. That's libertyinourlifetime.org. Libertyinourlifetime.org. Use code FTL for 10% off on tickets. It is October the 14th through the 15th. So there's plenty of time to plan this. We're like 6 months away at this point. October the 14th through the 15th for this important event happening again in Prague. And real quick, I just want to point out that in a little over 24 hours, the new Zelda game is going to be releasing, and I'm super excited about that. I'm not as excited as I was.
For what, like Switch?
For the Switch, yeah.
Oh.
And this is because this is something I've been wanting to talk about repeatedly. For one, it's mind-boggling how bad of a company Nintendo is, right?
Really?
Yeah, because one of the top movies right now is the Super Mario Brothers movie. Have I ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
Because I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, right. People are raving about it.
Yeah, I would totally watch it. I just don't want to go to the
movies. Yeah, even adults. It's not even like just a kid's thing.
I want to see the Barbie one, too. But
these idiots.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
These idiots have been working on this new Zelda game for like 5 years now. And they knew about when it was going to release. And instead of making a Zelda movie that bridged the stories between this upcoming game and its literal predecessor, they made a completely unrelated Mario movie when all they had to do was make a Zelda movie. And
is there no Zelda movie? Because that might be fun.
There isn't. And the amount of hype in the gaming sphere surrounding this upcoming release is unreal. The kind of people who are waiting on this game would have seen this movie 10 times, a dozen times, or more, combing over every minute of this, every little scene for every little detail, trying to piece things together. Mm-hmm. And it was such an obvious decision that they would have made that would have been phenomenally more successful than this dumb Super Mario Brothers movie.
Is it not doing well? I honestly don't know. I think it's doing well.
It's doing great, but it would be doing so much better if it was a Zelda movie. Because there's not a Mario game about to come out, but there's a Zelda game that they could be capitalizing on, and they're also just doing all manner of stupid things like the Zelda modding scene exists, even though the Nintendo, the company, doesn't actually support it. You can still find mods for the Zelda games. And Nintendo hates that, so they're currently issuing DMCA, which is a copyright strike, on any channels that show themselves playing any modded Zelda.
That's crazy. That's just like advertising for them.
They're going after Switch emulators. And
it's just like, how is that a copyright problem? Playing something that's not, I mean, maybe the law works that way, but it's a stupid law.
No, it has never worked that way. Nintendo lost that lawsuit back in the 80s when Game Genie came out, there was this device that you put your game in, then you put it into your console, and you could... You literally modded the game into being something that you wanted it to be. And Nintendo was like, no, you can't do that. This violates our intellectual property. And they sued Game Genie over it. And the U.S. court system said, no, this doesn't infringe on
your... That's a different thing. Yeah.
They own this game. They own the device. And they have the right to modify their copy of this program in whatever ways they want.
There was something like that for Animal Crossing on the DS where you'd put it in and you'd get the golden shovel right away.
Yeah.
I don't remember what else.
Something very similar to that.
It's like cheat codes or whatever, you know?
Right.
They have the right to do that.
Yeah, who cares?
But Nintendo cares.
Well,
so they're going after
they're trying again.
And they're going after the hacking, the homebrew scene for the Nintendo Switch and people who are making Switch emulators. They're now pulling the plug on the one that they were making for, like, Android or something. Because, like, this is unsafe. Nintendo's going to sue us. And, yeah, Nintendo, there was this dude.
What is homebrewing?
Is when you... custom make your own game, or as a couple people make a game for a console that's not officially released. It's like an unofficial game for that console. But there's this guy named Bowser, and, like, no joke, that's actually the guy's
name. Oh, I thought you were talking about Bowser.
Yeah, there's this guy named Bowser.
I thought you were just saying it's his username.
No, that's his actual name. And I think it's his last name.
Wow.
He was active in one of the modding scenes for the Nintendo Switch. No, he's great. He was a great guy. But Nintendo said he was evil.
Hmm. Yeah. I was joking because his name is Bowser.
So he was active in the Nintendo Switch modding scene. And he got sued by Nintendo, or they went after him to some degree. And he's now facing, I think he faced 12 years in prison.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
As a result of this. And... and he has to pay, like, $4 million to Nintendo or something like that. And this is a guy who, like, at best, he was making $40,000 or $50,000 a year.
Wow.
He will spend the rest of his life paying this money to Nintendo.
And his parents even named him after a Nintendo
character. I know. Maybe they were super fans.
Yeah, they're super fans.
But it's just absolutely disgusting behavior from Nintendo. And... this is the first game I ever pre-ordered, and that was because the Nintendo Switch had this thing called game vouchers, where you could buy two game vouchers for $100, and you could use them on just about any game you wanted. Well, not really, but a lot of popular games that were like $60, $70, you could use them on those. So it was obvious, you know, hey, I want this game, I want that game. Together, they're $140, so if I buy this voucher for $100, then I can get both of those games, and I'll save $40, right? But I only wanted one game, but I was like, that's fine. There's other games on there. I can find something I want to play. And there was like Tears of the Kingdom, the upcoming Zelda game, was eligible for it. So I was like, all right, fine. One of them was Pokemon Scarlet, which is also terrible. I hugely regret that purchase. But the other one was the new Zelda that's upcoming. So it's the first game I've ever pre-ordered. And I wish I hadn't done it because with Nintendo's behavior from targeting this Bowser guy and DMCA-ing people, but their fans, their own fans on the internet, targeting them, to say nothing of the Nintendo Creators Program, right? Like, all of these other gaming streamers on YouTube, they just collect their ad revenue and that's it. But Nintendo was like, no, you can't collect ad money when you're playing our games. That's not, that money should go to us. So they created the Nintendo Creator Program.
Wow.
Which... it allows Nintendo, it allows you to stream Nintendo games without being issued with content ID strikes and stuff like that.
Wow.
But they get 66% of all ad revenue that goes to your channel.
That's what? So
it's just,
bad.
It's just so
they're the
crazy.
Only gaming company that does that.
No, I know, because streaming is a huge, like, I know so many different people who stream so many different games and...
it put people in a position where if they were, and this wasn't just all of their Nintendo videos on their channel. No. If you entered into this program, then all of your content on your channel went went to Nintendo. So
even
if you streamed God of War.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because otherwise Nintendo would issue a content ID on it and they wouldn't get any money. Or it would get tied up in YouTube legal land where they're like, well, Nintendo says this is actually there, so you got to hire an attorney and then you got to show us the result of the lawsuit. And these people don't have the money for that.
That's sad, because I was going to say, why don't they just not play Nintendo games? But it's like, some people love these games so much. Like, I can understand.
Zelda's
love
my favorite game series.
Some of their games so much.
Yeah, they make good games.
I don't stream, but still.
I do, and it's horrible what they've been doing to people for the last 15 years. Going all the way back to the 80s, actually, and their attempt to sue the Game Genie company, but this idea that they own the videos because they own the games that were played during the videos, that's so insane to me. That's like saying that Microsoft owns every book that was ever written in Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
Because this game is just a program that people are using to create a certain output. They're putting an input with the controller and it's producing output.
Right.
And that's the same thing that happens when you use Microsoft Word to write a book. You're using a keyboard to put in input, and it's generating output.
Yep.
To say that that Nintendo owns this gameplay footage is to say that Microsoft owns every novel ever written in Microsoft Word, and that's obviously copyright. That's obviously unsound.
Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped them. So anyway, I say all that because I wish I could undo it, because if I had known then what I knew now, I didn't even know that Switch emulation was a thing, which is where you can play Switch games on your PC.
That's cool.
This is the first time I've heard about this. Usually the emulation scene is like a decade or more behind. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't emulating PlayStation 2 games on your computer when the PlayStation 2 was current, and you still have a hard time emulating PlayStation 2 games. But the Switch emulation scene is already there, and you can already emulate not just the latest Zelda game on the Switch for your PC, but you can emulate it in better settings with like 4K textures and enhanced resolutions and other stuff that you're not going to get on the Switch. So you get a better experience by using the pirated version.
Really,
I wouldn't do any of that, right? Because I can't. But I wouldn't give Nintendo my money if I knew then what I knew now. And it's sad.
I mean, that just makes me sad, because it's like Metallica. Like, some people love, I don't, but I can understand because I love other music, but some people love Metallica so much. And the thought of that they went after their fans the way they did, it's just so crappy. It makes them suck so bad, and it makes me sad for those people, and it's basically the same situation.
I forgot about that. I always forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't do them any favors, right?
No, it didn't.
They've had some albums since then. They've all been
terrible. Yeah, it's like, oh, Dave Mustaine was right about you guys.
They do have a new album that's come out, I think, this year, called 72 Seasons. And
I haven't even
From what I've heard, it's like, it's good, right? That's what I hear people saying about it. It's good, but it's like, Metallica was best when they were a prog metal band, and that's one thing that I never really recognized about Metallica, was that they were progressive metal. They weren't playing mainstream stuff. They were experimentalists, and they were good at it, with songs like Blackened that were in like 7/4 time and other weird stuff that you expect from Tool.
Yeah,
Metallica was doing, but heavier, and they were doing it back in the 80s and the 90s, and then they went mainstream. And they stopped doing most of that experimenting. They continued to do some of it, like the song Fixer off of Reload, very prog rock. Or The Outlaw Torn off of Load, also very prog rock. Or Bleeding Me, their more popular, well-known songs off of those albums, were prog rock. But then they're like, we don't know what we're doing anymore. We're lost. So they do crap like Saint Anger and Lulu. And I thought Saint Anger was the worst album Metallica was ever going to do, right? If you've never heard Saint Anger, it's special. And not in a good way. It sounds like it was recorded in a mini storage using a Casio tape recorder with one of those like little mini cassettes.
And they were already like rich and famous at that point, right?
They were richer and famouser then than they are now. So,
I don't really understand. Like, you guys,
they wanted to break all the conventions. They made a document. They were lost. They were alcoholics, and they were not in good places. And they made a documentary about it called Some Kind of Monster. The documentary is actually pretty good. But they didn't know what to do, so they didn't have a basis. They had just lost their basis, and they're like, we're lost. And
they made a song without any bass.
Well, they made
an album?
Way before that. They got Bob Rock, who was the producer when they went famous.
To learn
with
to play
Black
bass
album.
Real
he already
good.
Knew how to play bass.
Just kidding.
But they got him to come on. But they did release an entire album without any bass whatsoever. And that was the Injustice for All album, right after their first bassist, Cliff Burton, died.
Is that common? Like, I don't listen to metal. That sounds crazy to me.
It's terrible idea.
It is crazy.
But they did that because their friend, their bass player for years, had died. And that was their weird way of honoring him, even though
he would probably hate it.
Well, they did.
Wouldn't
he
hate
messed up about it, man.
A song without bass if he was a bassist?
Probably.
That's a good point,
But, I mean, the songs did have bass. They just left them off of the actual CD or the cassette or the vinyl, whatever it was that albums were made of back then. And they brought on this new guy named Jason Newsted, who they just treated like crap for the next 20 years, to the extent that he finally quit the band. Like, he quit Metallica. He quit the most successful rock band in history because of how bad they treated him. That's like, right. How bad could they have treated this guy to make him like, you know what, it's not worth that. It's not worth being a Metallica anymore.
Well, I brought up Metallica just to say that people need to learn what property rights actually are because people don't understand what theft actually is.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. You're referring to the Napster thing, which was a file-sharing platform back in like the late 90s and early 2000s where people would upload songs that they had ripped off of CDs or whatever, and other people could download them. And Metallica got very upset about this because it meant that Lars couldn't have the gold-plated bar for his swimming pool, and he would have to only get the silver-plated one. And that South Park ripped on this, and that's pretty much what it was. It's like, wait, no, I only have $70 million in my bank account. It should be $85 million, so let's sue the fans. They also sued a Canadian band for using a certain chord progression. Yeah. Like E flat to D major or something. I don't remember
what
the corporation
was. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there was another band, Led Zeppelin. I think it was the Stairway to Heaven, you know, chords.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, maybe they did rip this from this other band.
I remember that was a very recent development,
forget,
too, when the guy came before them, like, 2010
after they were
or
dead.
Something.
Like, it was their family doing it. But and I forget what the other band was called, but that's a, you know, to my point, the other band is irrelevant, and Led Zeppelin is one of the greatest rock bands of all time. I mean, they, you know.
Yeah, how did this guy not hear Led Zeppelin? Like, oh my God, they ripped off my song, right?
I mean, and maybe you'd be flattered. Like, oh my gosh, Jimmy Page likes my guitar riff. That's awesome.
People should be allowed to make a song that's every single part identical to your song, but they change one word. And if the people want to hear that version, then it should be fine.
I mean, they should have to change anything.
I'm just saying, like, if somebody's like, listen, I love this song, but I would just change this word, and they record the whole thing. If the people like that more, you should be able to accept that.
I want to cover the Marilyn Manson song, The Man That You Fear, but call it The Woman You Fear, because
that's
the song
awesome.
In there, The Boy That You Loved is the Man That You Fear. I'm like, The Boy That You Loved is the Woman You Fear, and I think that would be so great.
Yeah.
But you run into exactly that problem. And
I'm sure you could record it and maybe even put it on like SoundCloud for people to listen to, but you couldn't make money off of it. And that's messed up.
Well,
if people want to give you money, they should be able to.
I don't understand like the ability to copyright an idea.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a sound pattern here.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing. So like me and Aria can have the same exact idea, but how am I going to say that it's my idea and not yours when you could have came to the same conclusion completely independent of me?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. And all we're dealing with here are like sound waves vibrating at certain frequencies. And people are like, no, Metallica
those
owns
are mine.
That pattern of vibrations. That's completely
like they
insane.
They don't. No one owns that.
And I wasn't convinced that such a thing would really happen out there in the world until Fud played at Forkfest. It was not a good show, but we opened it with me playing Is There Anybody Out There by Pink Floyd, and because of that, it got DMCA'd, and Pink Floyd was like, no, that's our song. It's like, but it's literally me playing it. Like, you guys may have written
it. Well,
it's
my song now.
Right, but no,
they
got to claim it.
Are people who really like that song going to go, I'm not going to listen to the Pink Floyd version. I'm going to look up this recording of a live performance and listen to that instead. Like, they're probably
not
losing money. It's just crazy.
No, they want the pennies, though, right?
That's what I don't get.
The 5 pennies from the 4 people who would watch this, they had to have it. Just like Metallica had to go after their fans. It's crazy.
I really don't understand them even being able to do that with covering a song, though.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that absolutely doesn't make sense at all. I've gotten a lot of my videos taken down because I recorded a video in 2009 of me doing ballet to the Beatles, and that got taken down immediately, obviously, because the Beatles are like the worst with the copyright thing.
Worse than Kiss?
So,
that's right, I think I remember it.
Yeah, the Beatles are really,
really
bad.
The Eagles are also really bad.
Oh, I'm sure. But I kind of could understand that because I'm using the same exact Beatles song and just it's a recording of me, whatever, dancing.
Yeah, but it's free publicity.
Well, regardless, I understand that more than someone covering a song. Like, I just don't even understand. It's you playing the song.
Yeah.
How is that a copyright violation? Like, you're playing the song. It's not a recording of their original song. It's a cover.
And I don't know why some get taken down and some don't. Because I've seen plenty of covers online where people are singing a song and it doesn't get taken down. But sometimes they do. Like, yours. Like, I don't understand.
Well, it didn't get taken down. But they started running ads on it, and that sucked because I pride myself on not having ads on my channel. If you want to support me on YouTube, there's Patreon and crap like that that you
what
can
do. What
do they
right? deserve from you because you
well, they
cover
wrote the
their
song,
song,
right?
But they don't deserve money from you.
But no one's paying Beethoven when I play For Elise, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a way more popular, way more well-known song. I mean, if you want your song to become a pop culture icon into the centuries ahead, then you can't be a prick on the internet.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that I'm gonna make that my
put that on a plaque.
Because that's absolutely what we're dealing with here, and it's the same thing about Nintendo as well. And I'm not the only one who's watching this game about to be released going, man, I'm excited for the game, but I wish I wasn't giving Nintendo money for it. And I tend to stream a lot of Zelda games in particular, but under no circumstance, and I'm going to have it. Like, the moment it releases, I'll be one of the few tens of thousands or millions of people out there who have it. The moment it releases, I'm not going to stream it. Why would I give Nintendo the credit?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's this other channel on YouTube that I like watching where this guy analyzes rock songs, and he's like, this is why this is good. From a music theory perspective, like, this is why this is brilliant and creative. He will not touch any Eagles song as a result of that, because he did Hotel California once, and they are crazy. Like, this is a guy, he'll play 30 seconds of like, now, did you hear that? Did you hear that chord progression there? And he'll talk for 3 minutes about why it's great, and then they'll play another 30 seconds or whatever. And the Eagles tries to claim his videos.
No
like,
one's
no,
listening to that in lieu of listening to
right?
the song.
Yeah, if I wanted to listen to Hotel California, I would go play Hotel California on vinyl or on my phone. You know what I mean? Like,
I said vinyl earlier. Thank you. I didn't notice.
And I don't know. Like, it's just, it's like Bonnie said, it's like, you wouldn't watch this video of some music theory guy analyzing Hotel California to listen to the song. You would just listen to the song.
You absolutely
you know
would, right.
Getting interrupted every 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, like, if I wanted to listen to the song, I'd just listen to it. I wouldn't.
And U.S. copyright law is like some of the craziest copyright law out there. And yet, even in the United States, you're allowed to make a video where you go over what makes Hotel California good. And you have the right to do that. And the Eagles don't have the right to claim your money from that because you are literally creating content. You are critiquing it, reviewing it, and those things are covered by copyright law.
And when you're playing a video game, you're showing your skills, your ability to do it better than, like, someone else.
What do you think about intellectual property? 603-283-6160.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. May 11th marks the end of the COVID public health emergency in America. Florida Hospital Association's Mary Mayhew says the CDC will lose access to some of the data it used.
We have been doing very well for quite some time with the COVID numbers in our hospitals being extremely low.
The end of the state of emergency also means the end of Title 42 for immigrants. And Elon Musk is inviting Don Lemon to launch a new show on Twitter. The former CNN anchor was fired from the network last month. Early Wednesday, Musk responded to a tweet from Lemon announcing his firing with the offer claiming the audience is much bigger. Tucker Carlson, who was also ousted from Fox News, announced Tuesday he's planning to launch a new version of his show on Twitter. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and there's still time if you want to get on the air with us, because that is what we do here. We empower you to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever you want. You can still do that, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to. That's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And I want to say thank you to Shooty, who is tonight's amplifier, because we are mostly a listener-supported program. So if you like the show, if you value the ideas of liberty, and you value Free Talk Live, you might consider joining the AMPS program. You can find that at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. And there you can help show your support for the show. It only costs $5 per month. That gets you in. And it does come with an AMP-only podcast and occasionally, very rarely, some AMP-only features. Like there's an AMP-only video on there and maybe some other stuff in the future, but not a whole lot right now. But if you join, the reason should be because you value the show and you want to help us reach more radio stations and, you know, just reach more listeners in general. So that's amps.freetalklive.com. Shooty, thank you so much for the support. amps.freetalklive.com. I am a bit distracted. Sorry, the name on the caller ID there really threw me off because I was not expecting that. Anyway, it's not important. So that's amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much, Shooty, for your support.
I hope that's like a gun enthusiast, Shooty.
I would assume so, but I don't know.
Anyways, thank you, Shooty.
Yeah, thank you. So let's go to the phones. Did it sound like I was saying something else?
No.
Okay.
No.
I now that I'm hearing, I'm like, ooh, that could have been.
Nah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Let's go to the phones. We do have Jimmy on the line calling from Florida. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, hi, guys. You're not on the air down here on the radio anymore, and I missed you. What happened? All of a sudden on Friday night, they put a rerun of some national program. I thought, huh.
We don't run the programming. We're not the programming director at your radio station, so we probably don't know. Ian may know. I don't know.
He also, he's been having cell service issues all night. He's called a few times tonight, and we just lost him. Is the reason.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, Jimmy, I don't know what happened. I didn't receive an email about it. You know, these things happen. People take us off the air. They're like, you know, I don't want to. For whatever reason, sometimes people take us out there. We lose some radio stations, we gain some radio stations. That's the nature of the beast. We've lost a lot of radios, not a lot, but we lost more than one radio station because we have a tranny host. And we've lost
Christianity talk.
Yep. And Bonnie and I in particular, obsessed with people on the, I didn't realize it was the Easter episode, I guess, but on the Easter episode where we were like, it's been the Satanist feminist takeover of Free Talk Live.
Oh, you naughty girl.
Yeah, it was a bit much. And that was apparently Easter weekend. And I didn't realize this. So we lost I don't even know if we lost anyone over that. They
just get emails of people complaining and they say that, like, I'm going to my programs director.
Okay.
Yeah, but
whatever.
Or we get an email from the program director saying, hey, I had a lot of people really upset about this. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, tell them they're welcome to call in and voice their concerns. So we don't know what happened there. And I have no idea why we lost this station in Florida. And I don't really care. Radio as an idea or radio as an industry, as far as I can tell, it's dying. So they probably ran out of money to have a programming director sitting there. Because I've done this, where you call radio stations and you try to get the show on more radio stations. Most programming directors are overseeing, like, multiple radio stations. So they're responsible for the programming of, like, four or five, sometimes more, radio stations.
It makes sense, because they always seem to be clueless. I don't call them, but Ian calls them, and I'm always like, how do they not know the answers to these questions he's asking?
Yeah,
but
you would expect, like, each radio station would have its own programming director, and once upon a time, that was the case. But, you know, iHeartRadio came along, and I think it's something Cloud Media came along, and they sort of centralized the radio industry, and Cumulus is what it was.
Oh, yes.
And they sort of centralized the radio industry under two primary major networks, Cumulus Media and iHeartRadio. And they ended up doing a lot of downsizing with their effective monopolies. And as a result of that, programming directors are generally overworked. And a lot of radio stations are going out of business, or they're becoming just completely different things. Or they're hiring, they're getting paid to have people doing local shows. Because if you go to your local radio station, you're like, hey, I want to give you $200 a week to let me do an hour-long show each week. They'll go, oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll gladly do that because generally, you know, they would think of paying people to come in to do the show. But a lot of these, they just don't have the money to pay because ads aren't what they were for anyone. So I don't know. The radio industry is not in a good place. That would be the simple answer on why we're no longer on that particular radio station.
And, well, he said we're just not on Fridays or something like that. I didn't get.
Well, we lost him and he did call back, but he got what he was going to say out there, and there's not really much that we can say because we don't know why they weren't playing our show. You're welcome to listen online. We're always there at video.freetalklive.com. That's the best way to listen to the show anyway. That's video.freetalklive.com. So, Bonnie, you have a story about the Russian money that the United States government seized and then transferred to Ukraine. Now, this is money that they stole from Russia, as I understand, because when this war started between Russia and Ukraine, they froze a lot of Russian assets, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, this is actually weirder than I thought, because now I'm reading the subheading. It says the Biden administration has sought increased powers to send seized assets from Russian sanctions evaders to aid Kiev. So, and this is from Al Jazeera.
Which is good, because the U.S. government isn't going to tell you about some of this sort of thing. But Al Jazeera, they're like Russia today.
They're from Qatar, I think.
Yes. If the U.S. government is doing something evil, Al Jazeera or Russia Today will tell you, not the U.S. media.
Yep. says United States Attorney General Merrick Garland has authorized the first transfer of funds seized from Russian oligarchs to aid Ukraine. That's so weird.
Okay, so that, yeah, I mean, that I remember them doing that, especially in Europe. Europe seized a lot of money. They seized some yachts and stuff as well. So they took this stuff from...
Like when, oh...
At the outbreak of the war between Russia and Ukraine.
Hmm.
So they froze a lot of the assets belonging to what they're calling the Russian oligarchs. I don't even know what they're talking about there. Russian oligarchs, that's a meaningless phrase to me. They are.
Because I thought it was like somehow from the government.
No.
No.
Well, what's an oligarch? Like, he's part of the government, or he's like a person who has a lot of money and lives in Russia, and oh, he's a bad guy because he has money.
I think it's pretty much that. Oligarchy is, if I remember correctly, it's like ruled by the rich or something like that. So the oligarchs in Russia are like the rich people in Russia?
It just says small group of people having control of a country, organization, or institution.
Just a small group of people that have control. I don't know. Maybe it will give us more information, though.
That sounds like a meaningless term, because the United States would then be an oligarchy, or a kingdom would be an oligarchy.
Yeah.
It's also subjective.
Yeah.
It's like, how much is a small amount? It says, in a statement on Wednesday, Garland said the money seized from Russian oligarch Konstantin Malofeyev will go towards the war-torn country, which Russia invaded on February 24th, 2022.
So they're literally stealing money from Russian citizens and giving it to Ukraine so that Ukraine can use that money against Russia?
Yep.
I mean, I'm no fan of any part of this, but you know, I mean, if they're going to steal the money from the Russians, the last thing they should do with it is give it to the Russians' enemy.
I can't believe the U.S. can charge someone with evading their sanctions, too.
Oh, they love that, though. Right? Like, one guy went to, I think, North Korea to do a conference on blockchain technology, and the U.S. charged him with helping North Korea evade sanctions by, you know, basically pointing out to them that technically you could use Bitcoin to get around American sanctions.
And he even has a threat here. It says, Garland says, while this represents the United States' first transfer of forfeited Russian...
It's not forfeited, it's stolen.
Yep, Russian funds for the rebuilding of Ukraine, it will not be the last.
Now, as I understand the current state of the war, the Ukrainian government just bombed Moscow. Isn't that right?
I have no clue.
That's
because
crazy.
I haven't been following it
neither.
At all.
I did not know that. That seems pretty crazy.
I thought they had sent a drone and it had successfully bombed the Kremlin or something.
I hate to say that I don't care, because I do care. I do care that people are being, you know, hurt in the war. You know, I do care, but it's just hard for me to follow it, you know? I'm just...
Well, we know that the American government is lying about it. The Russian government is lying about it. The Ukrainian government is lying about it.
And that's why I'm like, I'm not going to follow these news articles because I don't know what to believe. I'm not there.
Right.
So, you know?
It reminds me of the Trump story that we talked about earlier when the guy brought it up. It's like, one person is saying one thing, someone else is saying the other, and I just don't care about this jury saying that Trump probably sexual assault of this lady. It's like, it's meaningless to me. I mean, yes.
Because of the systems in place. Like, if was a video, it's not like any of us would be saying, I just don't care that Trump raped this woman.
And that's the thing. It's like, I do care if somebody gets sexually assaulted. That's terrible.
Right.
But I don't know what the truth is. So it's hard for me to invest anything in the Donald Trump story or in the war in Ukraine because I don't know what's really happening. And it, as far as I know, all three media sources, you know, like all three of these countries are probably lying to me.
Well, we at least know that the Ukrainian government is lying and using propaganda in its efforts to control the narrative. Right? Like they have what they call the Ghost of Kiev, right? Yep.
Yes, which it was from a video game or something.
Well,
right?
this was different. That happened as well.
Oh,
but the Ghost of Kiev was a completely fabricated aircraft pilot. That they were like, he keeps shooting down all of these Russian jets, and, you know, he's the ghost of Kiev, and then no one can stop him, right? It completely made up.
I thought the photo they used was from a video game or something, though.
That happened as well, but that was a different issue. And then, of course, you had the hot actress, I don't remember what she was called, posing with airsoft delay. She took this picture at the front or whatever.
She's in the front lines.
Yeah, and Zelensky was doing the same crap, and it's all propaganda. It's all lies.
Yep.
And they're expecting me to care about their lies. And like.
And the other thing is, the why is very important, and it doesn't get talked about enough, and there's too much obfuscation around that. Like, a lot of the, like, theories that Ian has talked about on this show make a lot of sense to me, that make me feel a little less bad for at least the Ukrainian government that they got invaded by Russia. Not the people, of course. The people are innocent in this. But the fact that they were kind of pushing it with the, with Putin when they knew that Putin could do this, it seems to me irresponsible. Like, they didn't care what happened to the people. It's not going to affect them. Like,
there's also the issue with Crimea and the dam and the river or whatever, where they were, like, literally keeping the nation from getting water or something. Ukraine was allegedly doing that. It's a war. There's no good guys here.
Yeah.
But that's why people like Adolf Hitler so much. And Anton LaVey actually wrote a book about this. It's called The Good Guy Badge and The Bad Guy Badge, right? That's why people love Adolf Hitler. They hated Hitler, but Hitler gives us a clear example. Someone we can point to and say, that's the bad guy. That's the evil person. And anyone opposing him is good. But in the real world, and this was probably true to some extent in World War II, there's no good guys. Like, the United States government turned multiple blind eyes to the Holocaust. And so did the British government. And then
they turned away a bunch of Jews.
And then they sectioned off Germany between and gave half of it to the Soviet Union. So I mean, there were no good guys there. There was the evil Hitler, certainly, but there were no good guys either. And that's the same thing we have in Ukraine and Russia now. There's no good guys here, there's all bad guys. I realize people want to be able to point at Vladimir Putin and say, no, that's the bad guy, and these are the good guys because they're fighting him. But the world, it's not a fantasy novel, and it's not that simple and clean cut. They're all evil. They're all trying to conquer one another. They're all abusing one another, and they don't give a damn whose lives they ruin in the process. And that's, if they did, they wouldn't be waging war. It would be Zelensky and Putin in a boxing match beating each other's brains out.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They instead kill people. And you can't be a good person while you're causing other people to die. Sorry, I'm going to...
Yeah, you can't have both things.
Yeah, I'm going to stand on that hill and say, if you're literally causing other people to die, you're not a good person.
Yep. The worst part about this specific guy they're taking money from to give to the Ukrainian government is partially this partial reason that they have. It says, last year, the U.S. Department of Justice charged Malofeyev with violating sanctions imposed on Russia. Prosecutors said
Had to charge him with something to justify taking his money.
Yeah.
It says, prosecutors said he provided financing for Russians promoting separatism in Crimea, a peninsula the country annexed from Ukraine in 2014. So it's partially a political, his opinion thing. He's promoting separatism. That's like going after, you know...
He's promoting independence.
Independence lovers in Texas or New Hampshire, NHXed people. It's pretty bad.
That's one of the propaganda tools they use. If they want you to have freedom or independence, then they call it independence. If they don't want you to, they call you a separationist.
Yeah.
But no, it's literally the same thing. It's just a matter of which side you happen to be standing on. And in the subject of Crimea, it's pretty well documented, as I understood it, that the Ukraine had built some dam somewhere that was keeping Crimea from getting water. And that was one of the reasons, and they were abusing the Crimeans or something, and that was one of the reasons that Russia annexed Crimea in the first place. But it's all propaganda, it's all lies, and I can't believe any of them. And they're all evil, so I don't know. But it sounds like civil asset forfeiture to me.
Yep.
In order to justify taking this guy's money, they had to charge him with something.
Yep.
So they're like, well, evading sanctions, that's it. And they charged him with that, and then they took all his money as a result, because that's what the U.S. government does.
And I really wanted to know how they got it. This just seems a little silly on the part of this guy, but it says, at that time, Garland, which is the United States bureaucrat that is announcing taking the money.
The Attorney General, right?
Yes. Also announced the seizure of millions of dollars from an account at a U.S. financial institution traceable to Malofeyev's sanction violations. So they took it from a U.S. bank account.
Well, if he's got money in the U.S., it has to be in a U.S. bank account. It's all the more reason that we need cryptocurrency or some form of money that the government can't just take from you.
Yep, free.
Because you say something they don't like.
Yep.
Because it sounds like that was what this guy's crime was.
Right.
He said something the U.S. government didn't like. But honestly, they were just looking for an excuse. So the Russian oligarch's bad. They've been beating that drum for a year and a half. They just wanted an excuse. They wanted to charge this guy with anything to justify taking his money so that they could do what all of the European countries did, and we froze the assets of the evil Russian oligarchs. We're doing our part for Ukraine. Freedom!
Seems like that happens a lot where they, like the U.S. government will, like, pick a person, like, I don't like this person. And then, like, you know, the choice of the person they're targeting comes before the actual charges. It's not right. Like, oh, we're targeting this person because they committed a crime.
Well, look at Donald Trump.
Well, exactly.
They're charging him with all sorts of crap.
The same could say about you and Ian. You know, it's like, okay, well, we, you know, these people are saying stuff we don't like, so let's stalk them
for like
however
5 years,
long.
Yeah,
let's stalk Ian for 5 years and try to come up with any sort of charges. I mean, that's literally what they did to him. That's what they did to Donald Trump. It's what they did to this guy in Russia. I mean, that's just what they do.
It is.
I don't like you, and I'm going to, you know, find whatever ways they can target you.
It's so sickening because the original raid on the Free Talk Live studio, because this March the 16th raid was not the first one.
No.
They did one previously, a few years prior, where they purported to be looking for child pornography.
And then they couldn't find it.
And they, yes.
Surprise, surprise.
Years later, 5 years later, they still have not found anything. But they did see that there was a crypto wallet on one of the computers here. And from what we can tell, one thing directly led to the other. Where they
of course.
They seemed to just be looking for a pretext. And I don't know if I've never read the book. I need to order it while I'm thinking about it. Three felonies a day. The average American commits three felonies a day. If you have a target on your back and they want to charge you with something, they can find something to charge you with.
I mean, even some of the laws, because they don't take away laws. I mean, in some town, there's probably a law, you can't wear a green shirt on Wednesday.
Probably.
You know, are you going to get prosecuted for that? Probably not, because that's absolutely ridiculous. Any
but they
judge,
just don't get rid of it.
Exactly. Like, any judge or jury would throw that out, but it's still against the law, and that's the point I'm trying to make, where there are so many laws that you can't even keep track of it. It's impossible to not break the law, no matter how much of a law-abiding citizen you think you are.
And for an update on the initial raid, Ian and the Shire Free Church are suing the FBI to get that stuff back. And the FBI offered, as I understand it from what I read online, because I haven't actually heard anyone on Free Talk Live mention this, the FBI offered, well, we'll wipe all of these devices and then give them back to you.
Right.
And Ian said,
No,
you're going to return them to us how they were. Which, duh, that makes sense. Some of these are
why
running
would they
like,
wipe them?
Because
or maybe
they
already
jerks.
Did.
I think it's partially because they don't want to have to give it back with proof that there was never child pornography on it. They would rather give it back wiped, and then they didn't bring forward charges, but also Ian's name isn't like 100% clear like it would be.
So they went to a judge and they said, well, look, encryption software, we couldn't get into one of these devices. One of the devices they seized. I don't know what all was seized back then. Guys, I wasn't even in New Hampshire then. They're like, we can't even get into one of these devices. It's too encrypted. But technology has changed a lot, and we might be able to decrypt it now. So will you sign us a warrant or a continuance or whatever so that we can try again or some nonsense?
Even though their original warrant was invalid.
Was it?
Yeah.
See, I haven't followed it very closely. But it's been like 6 years at this point, maybe seven years
get
at this
over
point.
It.
Like, if they had
nothing's
any
gonna
pretext
be on there.
To charge, they would have done so by now.
Yeah.
It's completely sickening, and that's one of the best examples I can see of someone saying something that the U.S. government doesn't like, and it puts a target on your back, and then they look for pretexts with which to charge you.
Maybe, you know, a lot of people don't know this part about the 2016 raid, but the, like, 2 weeks before the raid happened, Mark Edge was on the radio on Free Talk Live saying, did you know that there is a website called Playpen, and it's actually being run by the government, and the government added new servers, made it faster, added new child porn, all in the name of quote-unquote catching child pornographers? The FBI was doing that. That's a fact. That's not a conspiracy theory. That happened. And
they weren't just doing that. They were the largest distributor of child pornography on the freaking planet.
And no one was talking about this, but Free Talk Live was talking about it, and What do you know? 2 weeks later, the Free Talk Live studio is being raided because they believe that somebody visited Playpen. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, it seems very unlikely. But, you know, I wasn't even here then, so I don't know. But let's go to the phones. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hi, guys. I want to make a comment about the copyright issue, but before that, I wanted to ask a question about goldbacks. By the way, this is David Hathaway. I'm in Arizona, and me and my wife like
goldbacks.
Oh, sure,
Hathaway. Duh. I knew I recognized your name.
Oh.
Yeah. We've bought a lot of the goldbacks and just kind of use them as birthday presents for the children and grandchildren and whatnot, but, you know, I've heard about people actually using them in the marketplace at, you know, different places, different swap meets and whatnot. And I wonder, just on the valuation, if you're looking at a dollar value, do they use the gold content or the cost with the premium? Because the cheapest I've been able to find them is at about a 60% premium. I think they say the average for the one goldback denomination is $4.11, but the gold in it is worth $2. It's 1/1000th of an ounce. And I just wondered, when you spend them, does the merchant value them at the 1/1000th of an ounce, which is about $20 if gold is $2,000? Or
right. They go for about $4 each here on the actual street in New Hampshire. If you're trying to buy something, each one goes for about $4, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Definitely the premium. On the website they said the average is like $4.11 with the premium. The cheapest I found them recently was $3.73 online. But anyway, I just never actually spent them in commerce, and I was wondering about that. But to my main point, I was thinking about your discussions about copying and copyright and all that. And, you know, it's to all human activity, the way you learn anything, if you're a baby or if you're a grown-up, is through copying and mimicry. That's the way you learn to speak, the way you learn to play the piano, the way you learn to be a carpenter, the way you learn to draw, is everything is copying. You know, you hear a song and you learn how to sing the song. You learn to play the piano by mimicry. You learn how to draw a picture by copying.
I hate that we're losing you there, Sheriff Hathaway, but you are breaking out a lot. But you make a really good point. I mean, as a musician, I can also attest to that. The way that I learned to play the guitar, the way I learned to write and play rock music, was by learning to play rock songs. And then expanding on that, learning a wide variety of rock songs. And I'm doing the same thing with the bass guitar right now. The reason I'm improving as a bass guitar player and writing new bass stuff is that I've learned a bunch of Korn songs on guitar.
That's how humanity evolves and progresses forward, is taking things that they're inspired from by someone else and building on it and learning from them.
We're out of time tonight. Check us out online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.